VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Well, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Our CD duplicator has been humming. I mean, Justin's been very, very busy here getting all the CDs of the Gary Ka interview we had on Wednesday and yesterday. We also had with the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Jane Orient, and getting a lot of these copies out. So much vital information coming forth from Crosstalk. Lord willing, Gary Ka will be back with us next Thursday. We never did get a chance to open phone lines, and we're hoping to have some time with him for that regard, but we'll be readdressing some of the aspects of globalism that are going on. We are going to be having a news roundup day today here on Crosstalk, and Sandy has been extremely busy getting many, many stories through the course of this week and compiling them together, and we've got certainly a lot of information to share. For us to be understanding of the times in which we live, I trust this helps us to understand the urgency of the hour and that we do need to be salt and light in the time in which we live. And what a time to certainly advance the good news of the gospel regarding salvation and the fact that even as the world focuses in on physical death through the coronavirus, we can tell them about eternal life available through Jesus Christ. We're going to pick up with a number of stories related to the coronavirus and how this is impacting other issues as well, as so many guests have talked about the underlying issues that are going on. For instance, as we have reported here from Breitbart, the Brennan Center for Justice, which is heavily financed by George Soros, is advocating the use of drop boxes to deposit ballots on voting day this November as part of a suggested overhaul of the U.S. voting system, yeah, guess what, due to the Chinese coronavirus pandemic. With other Soros-financed groups, the Brennan Center has been leading a campaign advocating a vote-by-mail system in the upcoming presidential election, citing fears that coronavirus makes it too dangerous to vote in person. Do you think there's any other motives involved there? Now Brennan has released a preliminary $2 billion budget that breaks down the cost of implementing the organization's blueprint for voting reform during the pandemic. The budget calls for jurisdictions to offer secure drop boxes and accessible locations for voters to drop off ballots directly. Already, California, Colorado, Oregon, and Washington use drop boxes statewide and have various locations set up that are not located at official in-person balloting stations. The Brennan Center plan also calls for universal vote-by-mail options for all voters. They want to bolster online voter registration. It advocates implementing same-day registration, also advocates expanded early voting with states, and also the Brennan Center, located at NYU School of Law, heavily financed by, guess who? Soros's Open Society Foundation, the recipient of numerous Open Society grants. Matter of fact, another group that's involved is Common Cause, also funded by Soros's Open Society Foundation. So is Public Citizen, another group that's part of the coalition. And the National Vote at Home Institute partnered with the Soros-funded League of Women Voters, as well as the Soros-funded Common Cause. Folks, there's a whole plan to just totally give upheaval to our voting system across the nation. And as we also have reported to us from WND.com, we've got the likes of former Attorney General Eric Holder. The coronavirus is an opportunity to make changes to the American electoral system permanently. In an interview with Time magazine published this week, Holder tried to sell his ideas as pro-democracy and making elections more inclusive. But what he's talking about is destroying the integrity of the voting system at its base. Coronavirus gives us an opportunity to revamp our electoral system so that it permanently becomes more inclusive and becomes easier for the American people to access. have access, Holder said. It also makes it much easier for cheating to take place. We heard those words from President Trump. We know what's behind this measure. The pro-democracy measures like voting by mail and no-excuse absentee ballots would make national elections open to tampering and fraud. The practice of ballot harvesting, allowing literally anyone to collect ballots from voters, turn them in for counting, basically destroys the protection of the voting booth. There's no way of knowing for sure whether the person voting was doing so of their own free will, or even if the person whose ballot was being cast was the one who actually filled it out, or even if there's the giving of finances to one another. Oh, yes, that's against the law. Well, guess what? So is cheating and fraud, and that's not stopping some from doing that. Let's go to WND.com as well. Former First Lady Michelle Obama has announced she's supporting a Democrat-authored bill that would force states to expand vote-by-mail options amid the coronavirus pandemic. Never let a crisis go to waste. True the vote. On Tuesday, stopped leftist efforts to force New Mexico to shift to a mail-in election system in the state's upcoming June primary. Interesting story, a very troubling story that Matt Staver released yesterday from Liberty Council. Hillsborough County, Florida, Sheriff Chad Chronister, who arrested the pastor of the River at Tampa Bay Church for holding a church service that he had approved just 3 days earlier. He recently released 164 criminal offenders, stating it was to protect our detention deputies, their families, the remainder of our inmate population, and ultimately our community in light of the coronavirus issue. Well, friends, as said to report, Sheriff Chronister's bad decision has now led to the resulted death of an innocent citizen who was murdered the day after the criminal was released. On March 19th, the day after Joseph Williams was released by Sheriff Chronister, Williams murdered an innocent citizen. Deputy said the victim was found injured on the street and later died in the hospital. We can't have people in the prisons because they might get coronavirus. Well, as they did this release of 164 criminal offenders in order to protect our detention deputies, one such individual that we know of so far has now murdered an innocent citizen. But no, got to go arrest the pastor. CNSnews.com, while discussing the effects of COVID-19 on New York State, including a plateauing total hospital admissions and a decline in the net hospitalizations and ICU admissions, Governor Andrew Cuomo said the number is down because we brought the number down. He said God did not do that. Folks, this is a very, very dangerous thing to say. At a press conference on Monday, the governor explained that the total number of hospitalizations in New York has started to plateau at 18,000. Doesn't mean the situation will not get worse, but it's been running about 18,000, flattening the curve. But he said, we brought that number down. God did not do it. Listen in his own words as he made that declaration. This is Governor Andrew Cuomo.
It is directly a result of what you do today. The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that.
God did not do that. Okay, let's go to breaking Israel news. U.S. President Donald Trump announced on Tuesday a freeze in funding for the World Health Organization as the administration conducts a 60 to 90 day review of the organization's response to the coronavirus panic. Trump, who criticized the World Health Organization for being China-centric, covering up the spread of the virus, is not supporting necessary travel bans and causing a 20-fold increase in global cases because of its delayed investigation into early reports from China. That is the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump withholding funding from the World Health Organization. Townhall.com. There's an increasing confidence that the COVID-19 outbreak likely originated in a Wuhan laboratory. The sources believe the initial transmission of the virus, a naturally occurring strain that was being studied there, was bat to human. That was patient zero, worked at the lab, then went into the population. Republican Senator Tom Cotton has talked about the scenario as a possibility for months, and says that the uh, that it points out the Chinese Communist Party is responsible for every single death, every job loss, every retirement nest egg lost from the coronavirus. Cotton added that he's introduced legislation that would allow Americans to sue Chinese Communist Party members for their negligence. He also said he believes a major manufacturing shift out of China is coming. More on that manufacturing shift, but NBC News reported last Friday that surveillance photos taken from above China in late November 2019 showed medical facilities bustling with an unusual amount of traffic. Coupled with communications tapped by U.S. spy agencies, the evidence seems to indicate that Chinese officials are not being straightforward about the origins of the coronavirus outbreak. According to China, patient zero was discovered December 1st, a claim seemingly undermined by the November surveillance photos. Okay, also we have from the Gateway Pundit, as early as 2018, U.S. State Department officials warned about safety risk at the Wuhan Institute of Virology Lab on scientists conducting risky tests with the bat coronavirus. Despite the warnings, the U.S. National Institute of Health, this is amazing, folks. Despite the fact that we gave them warnings in China, our U.S. National Institute of Health awarded to the Wuhan lab $3.7 million grant for studying the bat virus. This was after State Department warned about the risky tests that were going on at this lab. Another story here today. Western Journal, and a further blow to China's credibility surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. The communist nation Friday suddenly jacked up the death toll in the city where the outbreak began. The action came after weeks of external criticism that China had deliberately hidden the real impact of the virus. Though the Chinese government had previously gone to great, great lengths to defend the coronavirus figures that it was reporting, the death toll in the city of Wuhan was increased by 1,290 to 3,869, a jump of about 50%, while a slight adjustment of 325 additional cases raised the city's overall caseload. China had attributed the increase in numbers to bureaucratic delay, saying that because medical facilities were overwhelmed during the peak of the virus, belated, missed, and mistaken reporting occurred. Let's go to another story here today. Last Friday, McHenry County, Illinois Judge Michael Shimel entered a temporary restraining order mandating that the health department disclose to police the names of those actively infected with COVID-19. Isn't that interesting? The health department refused to reveal the names, prosecutors stated in news release. While we were compelled to provide the information, they said it remains the health department's professional health opinion that providing patients' identities to police is excessive. But a judge, has ordered forcing McHenry County, Illinois Health Department to provide the names of all COVID-19 patients to the police. Let's go to Miami. CNSNews.com, Circuit Court Judge Bernard Shapiro has ruled that Dr. Teresa Green cannot have custody of her four-year-old daughter as long as the mom, an emergency room doctor, continues to treat coronavirus patients. Dr. Teresa Green said she was appealing the emergency order that granted her ex-husband full custody of their daughter. She said, "I think it's not fair. It's cruel to ask me to choose between my child and the oath I took as a physician." She lost custody of her four-year-old daughter because she's a doctor treating COVID-19 patients. More stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what's the source of natural gas?
Chris, natural gas is a result of a variety of life processes. Even the digestion of your food produces methane gas. Methane gas is also found in volcanic eruptions and in meteorites. So it's evidently a chemical that can form under a variety of conditions. A new theory has been proposed that the huge deposits of methane gas are really the inorganic outgassing of the Earth's interior. These huge pockets of pure methane in many ways don't appear to be life gases with all the impurities that would be there. I lean to such a theory myself. God created this earth for man's good, and methane is a very good part of our existence. It's hard to know for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. By the way, our switchboard has been so very, very busy with taking requests of orders for the Gary Ka interview on Wednesday and yesterday with Dr. Jane Orient. If you miss getting through, you can contact us for CDs, or you can obtain it for listen to the downloads that we have it on our website. You can just go there, share the link at crosstalkamerica.com. But if you do want a hard copy, we make CDs of Crosstalk available for a donation of $6 to cover the cost of materials and duplication, postage, etc. And that's available by calling us at 800-729-9829. I'd like to pick up with a story from CNSNews.com. On Thursday, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, told Fox News that COVID-19 is unlikely to go away on its own. We have host Laura Ingram noted that there is no vaccine for HIV/AIDS or even SARS, but life did go on. Listen to this conversation that happened with Dr. Fauci.
HIV/AIDS is entirely different. We don't have a vaccine for HIV/AIDS, but we have spectacularly effective treatment. People who invariably would have died years ago right now are leading essentially normal lives. SARS is a different story. SARS disappeared. We developed a vaccine. We were in the process of going through the various phases. We showed it was safe. We showed it induced a good response. And then SARS disappeared, and we didn't need to develop a vaccine for SARS. So I think it's a little bit misleading maybe right. To compare what we're going through now with HIV or SARS. They're really different.
But we don't know. This could disappear. I mean, SARS did pretty much disappear. This could as well, correct?
Yeah. You know, anything could, Laura, but I have to tell
right.
you, the degree of efficiency of transmissibility of this is really unprecedented in anything that I've seen. It's an extraordinarily efficient virus in transmitting from one person to another. Those kind of viruses don't just disappear.
Yeah, they don't just disappear. Now, it's interesting. You know, we got this HIV/AIDS thing under control, right? Now, listen to this, because I went to the site that provides us the number of worldwide coronavirus deaths. And as of 12:25 Central Time today, according to Worldometers, year-to-date, there have been 150,708 deaths caused by coronavirus. Get that number down, 150,708. That was at 12:25 this afternoon. Do you know how many have died year-to-date due to HIV/AIDS? You can more than triple that number, 494,943. And Laura Ingram said, well, life has gone on, you know, and yet this coronavirus, we've got a whole different ballgame here. Never, never, never let a crisis go to waste. By the way, interesting story that was on CBN. President Trump and others continue to promote the anti-malaria medication, hydroxychloroquine, as a treatment for COVID-19. A Michigan Democratic State Representative Karen Whitsett thank the president for clearing the way for doctors to prescribe this, a treatment she says led to her recovery. And now, she said, it actually saved my life within a couple of hours, made all the difference in the world. And now also, Pastor Don Wilkerson, co-founder of Teen Challenge, started feeling sick after he was on a missions trip, got pneumonia, and he also was prescribed this and recovered as a result. Recovered at 80 years of age. Interesting. Yes, these are anecdotal. There are not full tests as of yet. But why would governors be making blanket prohibitions against the use of this in their state and taking doctors out of the picture? Well, since we're on the topic of Michigan here as well, some things going on there. Thousands of protesters on foot and vehicles converged Wednesday on Michigan's capital city to rally against Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home orders in the state. Operation Gridlock. It was organized by Michigan Conservative Coalition, created a huge bumper-to-bumper traffic jam around the Michigan Capitol building in Lansing. Michonne Maddock, the organizer for the group, said quarantine is when you restrict movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. Maddock told Fox News, every person has learned a harsh lesson about social distancing. We don't need a nanny state to tell people how to be careful. Matter of fact, as it relates to this, there are numerous states now that are organizing protests. Wisconsin is one that's holding one next Friday. Matt Staver at Liberty Council has started posting these on his website at lc.org, a listing of states and their protest dates and times and so forth. Matt, incidentally, is scheduled to be with us this coming Monday, Lord willing, here on Crosstalk. Also, we have Attorney David Helm representing four Michigan residents in federal court who are suing Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer over her executive order arguing that it violates the Fifth and the First Amendments of the Constitution, reports Breitbart. These residents are arguing that her order to make businesses shut down and ban travel to private homes and freely associate with one another violates the Constitution. It's taking a sledgehammer to an ant, Helm stated. We believe it's overbroad and overreaching. Go to WND.com. Amid disaster declarations in all 50 states in response to the coronavirus pandemic, governors are making plans to reopen business and public life. Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott wants to begin opening parts of his state next week ahead of the previous May 1st target. He said, we want to open. Texans love to work. We don't have to wait until May 1st. The White House said about 20 states intend to begin the reopening process as early as later this week, but definitely before the end of April. Trump has named a new task force to lead the federal government's effort to restart the economy. Meanwhile, let's see, Kansas Governor Laura Kelly extended stay at home. That would be until midnight on May the 3rd. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says his state will reopen on May 1st. This is Ohio. They will reopen for business starting May 1st when the governor's stay-at-home order is set to expire. And Democratic Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, though, he's going the opposite direction. In a draconian measure yesterday, Governor Evers extended stay-at-home orders until May 26 after Memorial Day. Seven Midwest governors also announced their intention to begin coordinating plans to reopen their states, not here in Wisconsin. The governor is seeking to keep everything shut down until after Memorial Day. Well, there's a couple of things going on. Number one, there is a protest taking place in Madison, Wisconsin, next Friday, we understand. Secondly, we understand that there is now a petition drive that has been launched by Wisconsin Family Action. You can find it at wifamilyaction.org. As Jelaine Appling said, the order requires the state to remain shut down for another month. Wisconsin Family Action believes that at this point, given that the numbers reported regularly by Wisconsin Department of Health Services show we have definitely flattened the COVID-19 curve, that it's prudent for the governor to begin opening the state again in significant ways rather than extending the very stringent shutdown for an additional 30 days. Well, they've got a petition to the governor. They've just posted it on their site, wifamilyaction.org, for Wisconsin residents, wifamilyaction.org. Also, a press release going out today from Missionaries to the Preborn. It said, speak up for the preborn this Saturday, April 18th. The death camps are still open here in Wisconsin. We will therefore speak up on the behalf and protest their bloodshed. We're going to be meeting at the intersection of South Main and West Paradise Drive in West Bend, Wisconsin, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then they state this in their release, if Governor Evers wants to play the tyrant, let us show people what his tyranny looks like. We will exercise our right of free speech, which men fought, bled, and died for. We will not glibly give them away. Interesting also, here we have from CNSNews.com, California Governor Gavin Newsom Tuesday gave his state a glimpse of what the future holds, at least until a COVID-19 vaccine gives Americans herd immunity. Now, folks, they're talking 12 months, 18 months, maybe longer before a vaccine. And so this will become the new normal. Here is a word from Governor Gavin Newsom. This was on C-SPAN.
We talk about what the new normal will look like. As I said, normal, it will not be. at least until we had herd immunity and we have a vaccine. Because as someone like yourself that looks forward to going back out and having dinner, as the doctor said, you may be having dinner with a waiter wearing gloves, maybe a face mask, dinner where the menu is disposable, where the tables, half of the tables in that restaurant no longer appear, where your temperature is checked before you walk in to the establishment. These are likely scenarios as we begin to process the next phase and next iteration. For businesses, the same opportunity and responsibility resides to allow for their employees to practice a safe physical distancing, which means they have to redesign those businesses. Retailers have to redesign their protocols, processes, and procedures. You saw on that list, it also develops opportunities because we have a chance, and as Lincoln once said, to think anew and act anew and to find new approaches, new strategies to get things done, more teleworking, more distance learning.
Okay, that Governor Gavin Newsom on the new normal coming for the state of California. Also this week, Governor Newsom announced Wednesday his plans, this is from FoxNews.com, plans on Wednesday to give cash payments to adult immigrants living illegally in the state. He's going to give illegal aliens financial aid. It calls for the use of a mix of taxpayer money and charitable donations, giving the payments to 150,000 adults, taxpayers kicking in some $75 million for this. Also, a proposal by two House Democrats, this is CNSNews.com, would give $2,000 a month to all Americans over 16 years old until employment reaches pre-COVID-19 levels, giving every American that's over 16 years old $2,000 a month. The Emergency Money for the People Act, introduced by Representatives Tim Ryan of Ohio and Ro Khanna of California, also ensures that college students and adults with disabilities still receive payments even if they're claimed as a dependent. Well, the LGBT advocacy groups do not let up. From Charisma News, LGBT opposition to Samaritan's Purse is intensifying in New York City, where the Christian charity has set up a field hospital helping patients with COVID-19. On Tuesday, LGBT activists with the Reclaim Pride Coalition protested several yards away from the Christian field hospital. According to RNS, New York's government started partnering with the Christian charity 2 weeks ago to help treat overflow patients. As of April 15th, Samaritan's Purse has treated 120 patients, according to a statement on their website. Franklin Graham said, quote, "While our scriptural belief in marriage between a man and a woman seems particularly offensive to representatives of these three groups, we don't believe this is a time or the place to wage this debate." Very interesting. And then also we find in the state of Virginia, what's going on right now? Virginia governor has now ordered residents to stay home until June 10th. June 10th. And you know what he's doing during this time? They are ramming through far lefty bills on voting, on guns, on abortion, on climate change, on LGBT issue. And a lot of this under the cover of Easter weekend. They passed a law that extends anti-discrimination protections to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Never let a crisis go to waste, folks. The Christian Post reporting that he signed the Virginia Values Act, also known as Senate Bill 868, into law last Saturday after it was passed by a Democratic-controlled legislature. He said, "We're building an inclusive commonwealth where there's an opportunity for everyone and everyone is treated fairly. No longer will LGBTQ Virginians have to fear being fired, evicted, or denied service in public places because of who they are." I'm going to have more on that story and more coming out from Virginia in just a moment. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
We got a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. So much going on. Governor Newsom, it's just amazing what's going on in this state. Our good friend Jelaine Appling at Wisconsin Family Council says the elections have consequences, and aren't we seeing that right now? This bill that was just signed in for LGBT in the state of Virginia. From CNSnews.com, there's an article that talks about the plain language of this new law would seem to indicate that even religious schools, Christian schools, that sponsored football, basketball, baseball games on its campus would be required by the state to allow adult men who say they are transgender, therefore women, and I put that in quotes, to use a women's rooms only to attendees of those events. But it's not only this LGBT issue that has been signed into law over Easter weekend. He also signed the Reproductive Health Protection Act into law. Last Friday, Good Friday, which, among other things, repeals measures mandating an ultrasound and a 24-hour waiting period, just upending the legislation that they had present in their state. No more will legislators in Richmond, most of whom are men, be telling women what they should and should not be doing with their bodies, said Northam. Taking a look here from OneNewsNow.com, a federal appeals court panel ruled that medication abortions in which pills are taken to terminate a pregnancy can be provided in Texas during the pandemic. The ruling was Monday. A three-judge panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals said the medication abortions can go forward. LifeSiteNews.com, more than 130 members of Congress have urged President Trump to maintain your current fetal tissue research policy and to redirect funds toward ethical, successful alternatives to combat COVID-19. The pro-life representatives included Kevin McCarthy, who thanked the president for his decisive actions to protect human life and human dignity on every front, praising him for having brought great hope to our nation. 15 state attorney generals, folks, they had written to the president stating that the use of aborted fetal tissue could help accelerate vaccine development to combat COVID-19. You know what it's going to do? It's going to help accelerate judgment upon our land. CourthouseNews.com reporting last week, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear signed an executive order that prohibits Kentuckians from crossing state lines, save for a limited number of exceptions, including employment, trips for necessary supplies, or to seek medical care. His executive order subjects violators to possible criminal prosecution to submit to a 14-day quarantine upon their return to the bluegrass state. Fox News tells us of the Easter Sunday in Kentucky church defied the coronavirus orders from the governor by holding the in-person service, met with heavy police presence, and guess what else? Nails spread across at the entrance of the parking lot. Dr. Jack Roberts, a pastor of Marysville Baptist Church, arrived to find at least a box of nails blocking each entrance of the parking lot. It was sad when we drove into the house of God today. Somebody said it would be nice if you drove home with flat tires today, he told the congregation. LifeNews.com, unborn babies are not being killed in abortions right now in South Dakota because of the coronavirus, a state pro-life leader said this week. Planned Parenthood in Sioux Falls recently had to stop doing abortions because pandemic restrictions prevented the abortionists from traveling to the state. Hallelujah. CNSNews.com, during Monday's live stream meeting at the Auburn, California City Council, Mayor William Kirby announced he's resigning due to the backlash he prompted when he posted a tweet insinuating that many supporters of President Donald Trump are also members of the KKK. One of those posts was a shared photo of a Ku Klux Klan hood with the caption, "Good news for Trump supporters is that most of them already have masks." The mayor resigned, took a backlash, and rightly so. Oh, let's see what else. Oh, yes, this will make everybody feel good. From the San Francisco Chronicle, San Francisco school officials are grappling how to grade students during the coronavirus closures. They've landed on a solution. Just give everyone an A. The proposal largely supported by the 7-member school board, but a final decision won't be made until next month after staffers research the possible implications on college admissions. More trouble coming. This here from the Des Moines Register. Soaring numbers of workers at the Columbus Junction, Iowa pork processing plant who have been sickened by COVID-19 have sparked fears not only for the employees' health, but also for the vitality of this small town and the continuity of the nation's meat supply. Official from Tyson Foods have closed the plant amid one of the state's largest outbreaks of COVID-19. 186 employees have tested positive for the illness. A facility, one of the nation's major pork processing plants and the rural community's largest employer. Also, there's Smithfield Foods, the world's biggest pork processor, shut its Sioux Falls, South Dakota plant over the weekend as the coronavirus spread among workers. The processing plants from Colorado to Canada have also suspended production after the virus spread. The whole system is gummed up, said Iowa State University agriculture economist Dermot Hayes. It's not just the farm and the packer. It's also all along the chain. One thing is doing good, though. The Associated Press tells us that online pot sales are taking place. Colorado has made online sales of recreational marijuana legal during the coronavirus pandemic, fulfilling one of the pot industry's biggest wishes and fueling its argument for more concessions that could be made made permanent when the crisis eases. Dispensaries are being designated critical businesses and are allowed to operate through statewide stay-at-home orders. Large markets such as California, Washington State, and Oregon are allowing curbside pickup during the crisis. Now Colorado's emergency rules. Customers can pay for marijuana online, then pick up their purchases at the store. Massachusetts, Michigan, Illinois, Oregon also allow online recreational marijuana sales. Isn't that something? In Michigan, you can't go next door to visit a neighbor, but you can go buy online pot and go and get it picked up. From the Christian News, Eric Simmons, the mayor of Greenville, Mississippi, has decided to allow churches to hold drive-in services after receiving guidance from Governor Tate Reeves, who has had no problem with gatherings. All drive-in and parking lot church services are allowed as long as families stay in their cars with their windows up and adhere to all state and federal social distancing guidelines, the city of Greenville posted to social media. I wonder if they make windows stay up as well when they go for that pickup service, you know, for the food. And windows stay up when you pick up a service for the other things as well. No, only for the churches. Western Journalism reports that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who recently berated the Trump administration, made claims that the state would need thousands more ventilators. President, we need more ventilators. We need more thousands and thousands of ventilators. Well, guess what? He's now giving some of them away because they're not needed in New York. President Trump seeking delay of the census because of COVID-19. Let's open some lines. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. While you're getting online here, I'll share a few other stories. From LifeNews.com, recently unsealed invoices show that a Planned Parenthood affiliate charged a tissue company nearly $25,000 for fetal body parts from July through September 2012. Just coming out now, just recently unsealed. Three 2012 invoices show this a year-long renewable contract between the two entities, Planned Parenthood, Marmonte Build Stem Express, $24,940. Let's see, what were they getting? $55 per fetal organ determined in the clinic to be usable and $10 per blood sample. Hats off to University of Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh, who decried abortion as the preeminent evil in America, stating in a recent interview that there can't be anything more horrendous than the killing of children in the womb. Here's a new use for 911. Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, this is WND.com, Best is urging victims of supposed hate to use the 911 emergency calling system to report that their feelings have been hurt. Washington State is no place for hate, the police chief wrote in her March 31st tweet. Report hate, including racist name-calling, to 911. We are here to help, and we will respond to investigate. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. To Monroe we go. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. Rahm Emanuel has been at the forefront for the global left in not letting a good crisis go to waste. Just recently, Barack Hussein Obama endorsed Joe Biden for president. And as you already mentioned, Eric Holder, Obama's right-hand man, have all come to the forefront so that they are going to push this destroying Donald J. Trump as president and U.S. sovereignty so that it's put into obliteration. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Christine in Burlington, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to let everyone know that Smithfield is owned by the Chinese. They also bought off the pork plants in Cudahy about 6 years ago. So this is time to support our local farmers. It may cost more, but we got to shut down the Chinese economically.
Supporting local
farmers.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Christine. Our number here, 800-733-9829, here today for Crosstalk, taking your calls. We're going next to Diane in Kansas. Diane, you're on the air. Hello, Diane. You're on the air. Diane. Okay, we're going to have to say goodbye to Diane. We have to listen to your phone. By the way, Christian Bakery shop owner Jack Phillips, he's been sued by a transgender activist whose initial complaint against him was thrown out in 2019. Well, in March of last year, he dropped the Colorado Civil Rights Commission dropped its investigation into a 2017 allegation. Attorney Autumn Scardina that Phillips refused to bake a cake celebrating Scardina's decision to self-identify as a woman instead of a man. He's been hauled back into court. The suit has gone now before a Colorado state judge yesterday, according to the Christian Post, being defended by Alliance Defending Freedom. He just mentioned that he said, I've already lost 40% of my business, more than half of my employees during the first case. I still haven't regained that income nor been able to resume creating custom cake art for weddings. Yet we continue to haul in. The intolerance by the LGBT plus community is amazing. Andrea in Johnson Creek, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim. Just want to mention, my husband's a mechanic, and there's only a few jobs coming in, and then the jobs that are coming in need parts from Ford, and we can't get parts.
Wow.
So I don't know if anyone's brought that up anywhere, but I don't know if it's across the board. Haven't been able to find any answers. So I just want to get that out there.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Let's go next to Bill. Hi, Bill. You're on the air.
How do you do? If we don't take this state back from this dictatorial governor and the rest of the United States, we're not going to have a country or a state left.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. And for those of you in Wisconsin, this coming Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Time, we'll be conducting an interview on WVCY television with State Senator David Craig regarding these various varied issues here in the state of Wisconsin. It airs over WVCY-TV. We also stream it at vcyamerica.tv. That's Monday night at 7. Let's see. We've got Kevin in South Dakota. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for your program. I enjoy listening to you, especially at a Christian radio station. We hear good news, not warmongering, but we hear the good news that you bring forth.
Amen.
And God is sovereign and God reigns. My point is, I guess this morning I was so encouraged at a local secular station played Laura Ingraham with the interview with our governor, Kristi Noem, and the bashing that she is taking.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many don't know it, but the Sioux Falls hog butchering place was closed, is owned by China. So, and in the same turn with that, she did nothing wrong because of the butcher place, the butcher business was required to be open anyway.
Hmm.
So, to the government, and so the management maybe dropped the ball there on procuring safer work environment. But it was just such an encouragement to hear on our local secular station that we listened to.
Thank
this
you, Kevin. I'm up against a break. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, behind the coronavirus pandemic, there seems to be an agenda that involves Planned Parenthood and the Marie Stopes International. These are groups that, according to numerous reports, have received massive funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Well, we know that Planned Parenthood was started by someone into eugenics, Margaret Sanger, who referred to people of color as weeds. We also know that Marie Stopes actually wrote a letter to Adolf Hitler long after it was evident what his worldview was all about. Many of these people, like the Gates Foundation, are now calling for population control and reducing the population. Numerous reports reveal that some of the vaccines that have been produced and given to folks in third world countries have caused those women to abort or caused them to become sterile. My friends, we need to be aware of a eugenics agenda behind the global vaccine program.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and I just want to get this story out, too, from the Christian Post. A pastor of an evangelical church in north central Nigeria, three members of his congregation, including a 10-year-old boy, were shot dead by the radical Fulani herdsmen, according to the Christian Persecution Watchdog. The killings are largely a result of increased terrorist attacks from Boko Haram, splinter groups, and overnight attacks carried out by the herders against predominantly Christian farming communities in Nigeria's Middle Belt. I just wanted to remind you again of praying for the persecuted church. There is so much heightened persecution taking place right now. China, they're taking advantage of this virus to further bulldoze churches and put in restrictions on Christians. Nigeria, four killed at a pastor's home. Many other places as well. A reminder to be praying for the persecuted church. Let's go to Miami, Florida. And Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints, all you saints. And I thank God for your program and the gentleman that you're going to have on this coming Thursday. Got my set up to record him. And I just want to say something, saints. You see how they don't even want the churches opened or anything like that? This is what the Bible says. There'll be a famine in the land for the word. Just stay in your Bible, stay in the word, keep your trust in God. And for you all that's able to get out there and witness, ask the Lord in the morning to send you somebody so you can lift up the name of Jesus. Get on that wall, saints, and just lift up the name of Jesus every day, everywhere you can go. God bless you all, and have a very, very, very blessed weekend. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Courtney. Tom in Port Wing, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. I have a quote from Thomas Jefferson. It goes like this: liberty is a boisterous sea. Timid men prefer the calm of despotism. And I think we're going to witness that when people gather together in Wisconsin, and liberty will be that boisterous sea, while the timid people will remain in their homes preferring despotism. Hmm.
Thanks for your comments here, Tom. We're going next to Corey in Washington. You're on the air.
Yes. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Just want to say, during this time, you know, not being able to work for three and a half weeks now, I get stressed, and my wife is a wonderful wife, and she encourages me. And I tell you what, we just got a blessing this week. So this would be for all everybody that believes in sharing the gospel, that one of my cousins, on the fear of this coronavirus, who had gone to church, texted my wife about 8 o'clock at night, worried about where she'd go for eternity.
Hmm.
And it was, it was just a testimony.
Amen.
To know that the answer to prayer, God, why do we go through these things? It's because there's people looking for us to be that true salt, to be that true light, for us to bring them to Jesus. And my cousin, by about 9:30 over the phone, first time my wife has ever done this over the phone, letter to Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage everybody out there that, you know what, I think it's a real trying time. Wherever this goes in the end of this month, this year, where our president of the nation goes, that is a time for the church to really shine bright for the Lord and be a good witness and really pray hard. But I think we just need to stand our ground and not believe in this closed down society that they're trying to push over us.
You know, Corey, and thank you for sharing that. And certainly there are opportunities that would not exist had there been no coronavirus, opportunities to advance the gospel. And your call just bears witness of that very aspect. God makes no mistakes. And so we can trust in his sovereignty through this. And we just rejoice with you over that soul that's been saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Thanks for the call. Ron in Galesville, you're on the air.
Hi there, Jim and people. I wonder if this is true, and where have I been? I haven't heard it discussed, but I don't get a chance to listen very often. Bailouts from the government. We got help with our business. We have to use it for a payroll, but here's bailouts. $300 million for migrant refugee assistance, $10,000 per person for student loan bailout, $100 million for...
What are you reading from, Ron?
It's a email that my wife brought home one morning.
From?
Well, it's got some names on here.
Okay. Like, yeah, without verifying all that, unless you have an exact source, if you're reading from the bill or something like that, I just don't want to take, you know, third hand all of those issues without having time to really sift and verify those
issues.
He's
mentioning page numbers on some of this. Yeah, it's unbelievable, and I wondered if there was any verification, if this is really true.
Well, you can go right to the legislation. The bill itself is something like 880 pages, but I would, you know, I'm sure some of the organizations have dissected this legislation to look through to verify that. I'm just a little bit leery sometimes when we get these emails that go from person to person to person, and somebody adds something to it to safeguard in that regard. So there are places you can go to get that fact-checked in that regard. Thank you for the call. I'm going to squeeze one final call in. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. It's amazing what some of these left-wing politicians will do to try to make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Cuomo. That was pretty in God's face when he said that God didn't lower this virus death rate. We did that.
Yeah.
And look at that imam, and I guess it was an imam in Iran. He credits that non-existent Mahdi for Iran not getting the virus. Well, we don't know that they're not getting it, but even so, they could both take a lesson from Acts 12:20. Look what happened to Herod. He was given a speech to the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they tried to butter him up by saying he had the voice of a god and not of a man. Apparently, he received that and took it, and instead of giving God credit, he took it to himself. And he wound up dead. He wound up being smote by God and eaten of worms, it says.
Yeah.
So they better be careful.
Indeed.
God still sits on the throne.
Amen. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And friends, thank you for your comments here today on the program and for your involvement. We're Friday, and I just want to share something with you here today on the program, and that is, despite all the shutdowns, and I know things change from state to state, please, please, please do not neglect the work of your local church. Even though we have the shutdown of services, your local church still needs you. We encourage you to participate the best you can in services, whether it's online or drive-in services in a parking lot, but to get behind, support your local church financially. They have needs during this time. They have staff, they have utilities and so forth. And the missionaries that your church supports, they're counting on you too. So stay faithful in your stewardship to your church. Pray for your pastor and your church leadership. They're facing challenges they've never seen before in ministry. And think of something you can do to encourage one another. Encourage one another in your church fellowship, and let's share the word. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.